In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The church has always been under attack by Satan. History proves that. There's always been difficulties placed on God's holy church from the outside world. You could look at the Roman persecutions of the early church, the threat of the Ottoman Empire in the late Middle Ages, or secular ideologies that run rampant in the political sphere nowadays. Those things have threatened Christianity in one way or another. The good news is that the church always thrives when she comes out the other side of outside pressures. So Satan's attacks in this way are harmful, yes, but not the most dangerous. The most dangerous attacks by Satan have always been on the inside of the church. That's what Jesus means when he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Jesus warns us these false prophets will look like us, claim to be one of us, and do good works like us. It'll be hard to distinguish between a prophet of God and a false prophet, a true preacher of God's word and a swindler. Their outward appearances and actions will have a disguise of godliness, yet inwardly they're wolves. They feed themselves at the expense of leading souls astray. These false prophets are more dangerous than any politician or Christian persecution because they lead souls away from the pure word of God. That's why not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Outwardly, they seem to have a semblance of true biblical Christianity. Yet inwardly, these false teachers do not teach the Father's will in heaven. Rather, they impress their own will over the Bible. They teach man-made rules, a self-made, self-imposed religion like the Pharisees. They teach to feed into their own desires. They may teach bits and pieces of what Jesus says, but leave out what they don't personally like. They either pick and choose their beliefs to follow, or they add more commandments where Scripture is silent. But here's where it's tough for us Christians. If a disguise of a false prophet is so cleverly fashioned, how do we know who's a false prophet and who is one sent by God? Jesus says, "You will recognize them by their fruits." But we shouldn't take that to mean that we recognize them by their outward actions, like the fruits of the Spirit. Because remember, they have sheep's clothing on. They look like one of the sheep. So what Jesus means by fruit in this context is the fruit of a prophet specifically. And their fruit is their prophecy. Not prophecy like predicting an event off in the future, but a prophet teaches God's word to his people today. And so said simply, real prophets teach what the word of God teaches. And what does God's word teach? Well, it certainly teaches a lot, but it's simple to point out a false teacher. Because it's answered in this question. Did they preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins? Did they briefly mention forgiveness without ever talking about the cross? Did they talk about social justice without a Savior who's accomplished divine justice? Did they ever talk about the mutilation of the flesh without mentioning the Savior's flesh who's purchased and won them? Did they talk about forgiveness without ever talking about sin? Did they talk about forgiveness without ever talking about the payment for our sins through Christ's precious sacrificial blood? Did they talk about sins or the exercise of Christian virtues absent from a Savior who covers up our screw-ups? If they didn't preach that, what did they preach? About earthly prosperity? About self-betterment, about earthly blessings, about becoming an overall happier person? Or how forgiveness is made complete by something you have to do? Or that my own will, decision, or actions play a part in my salvation because the cross of Christ wasn't sufficient enough? Flee from any teacher that doesn't preach Christ and Him crucified for sinners. Flee from any preacher that gives half-truths. Stick with preachers like Paul, who says in Acts, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. Now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. We are commanded by Paul here in Jesus and the gospel lesson to pay attention to what we're taught, because our life depends on it. After the gospel text, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock." He urges his disciples to know all of God's word, lest they be led astray by false prophets. Jesus urges us to do the same. Build your faith on His Holy Scripture and do as the Lord says. And surely the Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's His promise. Without knowing the Bible and its teachings, Satan prowls around like a roaring lion on the unknowing and the spiritually starving. He preys on the lamb whose faith leads them to occasionally limp into church every once in a while. He preys on the lamb who thinks prayer is ineffective. He preys on the one who idolizes friendships over the exercise of faith. He preys on the one who desires a man-made religion, establishing rules where God is silent. He preys on the one who, on those who know only the things they like from Scripture and ignore the rest. False prophets are sent to do Satan's bidding in these areas, that we would be drawn away from Christ. So be alert. Know the Word of God. This is why we have Bible study, so that you may be equipped to dismiss false prophets. This is why we teach kids in Sunday school, so that they may grow up with the weapons and shields necessary to ward off false teachers. That's why we have the confirmation kids memorize the catechism, because by knowing the commandments, Lord's Prayer, Creed, Baptism, Confession, Absolution, and the Lord's Supper by heart, they're equipped with everything necessary to know their sinners, to call upon God for help as a Heavenly Father, and to believe the Trinity's work, salvation. They know the means of grace, where to go for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Simply said, to know the catechism is to know the summary of the Bible's teaching. This is why we gather here, to listen to God's word preached, to be strengthened and edified by the whole counsel of God. Hearing of our sins, being led to repentance, faith, and forgiveness. Here we learn the words of Jesus, so that we may build our foundation on His holy word. Finally, this is where we gather here at church around this altar. Here we receive our Lord's body and blood every Sunday to strengthen and preserve us in the one true faith. We receive the medicine of immortality, as St. Ignatius called it, By receiving our Lord here for the forgiveness of our sins, we are forgiven and freed from the guilt and blame of following false teachings. And our Lord invites us on the paths of His righteousness as He equips us to learn more about Him and defends us from false teachers. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.